Good morning. I sent out an email on Friday, and as we've already prayed about this morning, but I want to mention again the sad news of Dave Whitcomb passing away this past week. Many of you know that Dave was part of our church community for the last 5 years or so, and faithfully took care of running sound and helping us in all sorts of ways with that. In God's providence, and I believe that, in God's providence, Dave opened his recording studio next to the church office, and I'm very thankful for the friendship and connection that developed through that. Dave had recently moved to Florida to be closer to his family and passed away this last Thursday. And so just want to mention that to us and also say that we'll have a service of remembrance, a memorial service for him on July 16th. More details will be made available through the weekly email. But before we read our passage, I thought I would share just a couple brief thoughts. One is that our faith in Christianity doesn't simply call us to individual faith, but calls us and welcomes us into a church community. And that might sound obvious, but it's something that we can be deeply thankful for. Dave mentioned to me a number of times how much he appreciated the friendships that had developed in this church community. And so I'm thankful, not just for that case for him, but for all of us, to have known him, but also to know one another. Also, a second thing to mention and remind us that in times of loss or mourning, times of questions, our faith does not lean on our own strength or our own understanding. This is always the case, but we're especially reminded of when difficult things happen. Our faith always relies, it rests on the promises that God speaks in his word. Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he will live." And the Apostle Paul writes, "I am sure that neither death nor life, things present or things future, nor any power, nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." These are words that we cling to in hope. Our passage this morning from Luke 8 is a story that might be familiar to us, but I want to remind us that it's ultimately a story inviting us to consider the power of God's word, and how it's his word that gives us hope and life. So let's read this passage together, and then we'll pray. It says in your order of worship or in your Bible, Luke 8, 1 through 15. "Soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, of whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathered and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. It's God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we come and we ask that you'd be with us. Lord, we always need to hear your word, but especially we are reminded today of the need to hear things that endure, the things that will last, things that are solid that we can step and stand upon. So, Lord, let us hear again of your word, its power and its life. We ask this in your name of Christ. Amen. Well, Jesus, as our passage says, is going through the northern cities. During the summer, we're looking at passages of Jesus' ministry in this area. And he is bringing the good news of the kingdom. And as often is the case, a large crowd gathers around him. And he tells them a parable. A farmer went out to sow seed. He sows his seed, and the seed falls on a variety of ground and brings forth a variety of results. Jesus offers the crowd something familiar. It might not be familiar to us, but it was in that setting. It was common for a small landowner to cast seed on all the ground that was available to him. He casts far and wide, and some seed falls on the path, and some on the rocky ground, some among the thorns, and some on good soil. This wide casting of seed might seem a bit careless, but it's important for us to notice right away that the farmer in Jesus' story is not overly cautious, but he is glad to throw the seed far and wide, throwing it everywhere, confident that there will be a harvest. And as part of the story, Jesus offers three sorts of dangers. Some seed is lost to the birds, some to the sun, and some to the thorns. But he also affirms that there will be a good return, for some will grow, yielding up to 100-fold. At the end of his story, Jesus calls out to the large crowd, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, then it makes sense to ask, what do we hear? What do we hear? And maybe if we've heard this before, whether it's for the first time, our attention might go to the soils, the different types. But I suggest that this story is not first and not foremost a question about the soils. Rather, it is a positive assertion concerning Jesus and the arrival of the kingdom of God through him. The center of the story is the act of sowing. The farmer is the active one. And his activity is the liberal casting forth of seed, seed that can bring life. Parables, one of Jesus' favorite ways to speak, are like dream-like stories, using familiar images to tell us something that we're less familiar with. Jesus uses something familiar, a farmer planting seeds, to teach us something less familiar, the kingdom of God. And when Jesus is asked to explain this parable, he tells them the sower represents the one casting God's word, and the ground represents the hearts and lives of men and women. Recently, my son Owen, who just finished kindergarten, during kindergarten told me that they were planting seeds in his class. He had a plastic cup, and they put some dirt in the cup and put a seed inside of it. I didn't think too much about it, but about a week or two later, all of a sudden, he came out at the end of the school day with his plastic cup and a green sprout coming out of the dirt. Jesus doesn't list it among the dangers, but a kindergartner walking home with the plant in hand, the plant survived that trip, and it's still sitting on our windowsill in our house. I don't know much about planting things or how things grow, but I give you as a picture And maybe we can draw other pictures to mind. For Jesus invites us and we ask, how does the kingdom of God come? How does it come in your life? And how does it come in the world around us? He says it's like a seed going into the ground. It's like a seed going into the ground. The soil can't produce the fruit or life itself. It must wait to receive it. Something new must be introduced into that ground. And we don't immediately see the results. We don't always understand or recognize the germinating process. But new life and even fruit arrives in a place that was barren. As God brought forth creation by his powerful and true word, let there be light. So God brings forth new life by his word. How does the kingdom of God arrive? Well, Jesus says it comes when God speaks. Through his messenger, he is like a farmer casting seed in this world. But not only do we need to see that it is his word going forth that has the power to bring life, I want us to see the second part of how the kingdom comes is that at the heart of that word is God's promises. What do we think about when we think of God's word? There are many things, but I think at the heart of it is that God is a God that speaks promises to his people. In the poem, Everything is Waiting for You, by David White, the first line reads, your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone. Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone. And I want us desperately to hear this morning that this parable affirms that this world in its ways, that this world in its barrenness, that is painful, filled with despair and loss and mourning, that this world and the terrible realities of death is not all that there is. Jesus' parable makes clear that there is another kingdom that breaks in, that we desperately need to hold and to remember this truth, that we are not alone, that God is present and proclaims his word full of promises, a word that says that you are more than some random material, but that you are made in the image of God, that you are not simply the sum of your actions, the opinion of others, the sum of your collective failures or successes, but that God in his love has not left us in our condition or our sin, but sent Jesus, our Redeemer, that we might know not only the kingdom of this world, but we might know the joy of the kingdom of God, living as his beloved children. This story tells us that faith comes by hearing God's word. But at every stage of our journey, every stage of our faith, faith is essentially a resting upon the promises that God speaks. Faith is essentially a resting on God's promises. The soil awaits activity that it cannot generate itself. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. And this story, and that with the center of God's word and his promise, they are affirmed and they are centered, they are embodied by Jesus, the one who tells the parable, the one who said, I have come for the sick and sinner. I have come to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to give sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. It is centered on the one who promises in himself, all who trust in me will never be put to shame, for I am the resurrection and the life. The one who dies in me will live. See, the parable invites us over and over again to ask, who is this man speaking it? For he is the sower. He is the word of God in flesh and the one proclaiming the word. And as Jesus went forth in his word and deed, his actions paralleled the farmers in many ways, one of which was that he was being told over and over again that he was being wasteful, excessive, that he wasn't cautious about where and to whom that he would speak his words, that he delighted in speaking the truth that we are not on our own. He delighted in speaking that to those who had been overlooked and forgotten. From the beginning, Jesus sent forth the word, the seed, to a group that the world, the strong ones, said was inefficient or unwise or wasteful. And Jesus touches upon this negativity towards him when he answers the disciples' questions and their confusion. He says, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Here Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was preaching in Israel during a time of great uncertainty. In describing his ministry, his prophetic work, Isaiah said to the people that some will hear my words as promises and take heart, and some will hear my words as an offense. And in quoting this, Jesus is saying that he is the sower of the seed, and part of recognizing him as the messenger of God's kingdom is that his words bring joy to some and offense or anger to others. But even with the rejection or the anger, his kingdom will come. Here is the hope of our passage that we're invited to cling to, not because of our strength, but because of Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Let the seed bring a harvest of new life and new ways in me and in those around me. Let your kingdom come. Let me know that the kingdom of this world does not have the final say in my life or in the world around me. Well, Luke reminds us that some receive the seed. And at the beginning of our passage, Jesus proclaims and brings the good news of the kingdom, Luke says. And he adds that there are the 12 disciples are with him and also some women. The seed has taken hold in some lives and it's growing. Now, some critics surely would have dismissed this collection of men and women as unimpressive. But as we heard in the reading from Isaiah, God's ways are not our ways. And as we hear this parable about a farmer who generously, even wastefully, sows seed, it reminds us that the church should focus generously speaking God's gracious words, without careful calculation of the potential for success or acceptance or influence, that we are to share generously God's word, the good news. How often do we decide ahead of time which of our neighbors or our friends, our classmates or our family members, co-workers, which ones won't be interested in hearing about such things? Which ones do we decide ahead of time won't be open to hearing these things that are important to me? Augustine, in his writings, says that the Christian's role is like one who points at the night sky, pointing towards the glowing moon or a bright star. Our role is to graciously point and speak of it, not to provide the vision to see it, appreciate it, or find joy in it. Our passage first and foremost invites us to see the power of God's word, that the word is what brings life to the soil. But it also invites us to see and to ask about the soil of our hearts. We can read this parable simply as a separation of those who hear and believe and those who do not, those who turn towards Jesus and those who do not. But I suggest that we can also read it as a diagnosis of our current faith and discipleship, a question for everyone who reads it. John Calvin speaks of the Word of God as glasses that give us new vision. As we heard from Adonijah and Nicole, James writes in the New Testament that the Word is like a mirror that allows you and allows me to see ourselves in a new way. For all of us, even as those who confess faith in Jesus, this passage asks, to whom am I listening? Whose words matter to me? Is God's word growing, or is it being choked in my life? The question isn't simply, do I affirm Christ or not, but do I hear? And is your heart receptive to God's word, the word that brings life? This parable affirms to its core that Jesus is the one that we need to hear. But it also affirms that sometimes we forget or give our attention to other places. There is the deceiver, like the birds that snatch the seed away. There are difficulties, even persecution, for identifying with Christ that can scorch our faith. And there is weeds, concerns of this world that choke what we hold dear. Life is full of pain and challenges. And there is pain and hunger and sadness, questions everywhere. We know this always, but there are times in which we are reminded. And it's in those settings especially that we might see that we have all sorts of ways that we try to make life work or attempts to have control over things. And Jesus is opening our eyes to some of those illusions that we hold on to. We cling to lies at times, being able to let go of voices that speak to us. We cling to reputation or respect, that this illusion that by those things, that things will go okay for us. What happens when listening to Jesus confronts this? When listening to Jesus threatens our reputation, our respect that we desire from others? We cling to possessions, cling to resources and the illusion of power. And what happens when listening to Jesus threatens those sources of security? Jesus' story seeks to challenge us and invite us to listen again, to affirm that in the midst of the sorrows that we feel, that say, Jesus, you alone have the words of life, the words that we need to hear. It's worth us noticing the disciples, that they are marked out in the story by those who ask a question. I think it's always worth in passages to ask what sets apart the disciples, what sets apart Christians from others around them. And here it's worth noticing it's not that they are free of their pain, free of the sorrows of this world. They're not free of the sting of death. It's also not, what marks them out is not that they understand things or fully grasp what's happening. What marks them out is that they come to Jesus asking him a question. They want to hear from him to explain to them what they do not understand. What marks them out is not their strength or their understanding, but their presence with Jesus, their affirmation that he is the one that I need to hear from. Hearing means more than just being in earshot. Hearing in its full sense, receiving the seed, implies humility, attention, assent. Their understanding may be limited, but they listen to the one casting the seed. They've affirmed the central message that you and I are invited to affirm, that we need God's word, and we need to listen humbly to it. Our hope is in the sower and in the enduring seed of the kingdom. As part of Jesus' ministry, at one point, God gives witness, saying, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." And I invite us this morning as we reflect on the challenges in us and around us, and the reality that there is pain and hunger and sadness and questions everywhere, that we would walk in the path of the Christian faith, not that we have arrived or that we have understanding, but we know the one that we need to hear. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you are with us. We pray, Lord, that you would speak by your word life to us. And we pray that our hearts would receive it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.